Folks, last week there were a number of stories reported about permitting issues relative to liquor licenses and the difficulties that folks were having, and they didn't realize they were generating fines and things of that nature. The New Orleans City Council back in the spring had made some modifications to try and assist ABO license holders then, but yet problems still are cropping up. And Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member, was supposed to join us Friday. He got tied up, and we understand that. He agreed to come back on this morning, so we're happy to have him. Freddie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Newell. Thanks for having me.
So, Freddie, if you would, what seems to be the issue? Because you guys on the council tried really hard to address some other issues that came up in the spring and actually put them in place. And it sounds to me like part of this, that the regulatory side of this is circumventing even some of that of what y'all put in place. Is that true?
That's true, Newell. Through my leadership, we introduced legislation that would make it more helpful for our small businesses to get a temporary license, such as Plume. Those ideas were rejected by safety and permits. They had their own ideas of how things should go, basically. And had they adopted what was put in place or what was suggested to them back in March, this would not be an issue, and you wouldn't have small businesses around the city, a small business like Plume, having this huge fine because they would have been able to get a temporary ABO and continue to operate how they've been operating. But this has been an issue with safety and permits for quite some time. Before I took office, Newell, it seems that the human element is taken out of some of the rules and regulations. You have a business like Plume, who's the typical mom and pop business. They are a mom and pop. They live across the street. Their child goes to nursery, to daycare, next to their home. They invested into the community, and because they made an honest mistake and did not renew their city license, their city liquor license. They renewed their state license, but they didn't renew their city license. They're being punished, and it may seem like something small, but to a small business in a small restaurant in the summer, which is a very slow time, being fined thousands of dollars could put them in the poorhouse and bankrupt them, and that's what they're saying. So our office fully supports Plume and all of those small businesses who are having these struggles. But we're just trying to put some common sense rules in place, not to help those bad actors, but to help those good actors who really need help.
Freddie, it seems to me that a lot of this licensing doesn't align. It all goes back to the inception date of when you apply, when it gets approved, and I guess the annual period starts from there. Is that correct?
Yes, it doesn't align, and it's also confusing because you have the state. You have the state liquor license. You have a city liquor license. They don't always align. Like in Plume's situation, they kept renewing their state license. They were giving a notice from the state, a proper notice, that, hey, it's time to renew. The city didn't do that. The city gave them an email at an email account that they didn't check regularly, or they hadn't checked or used in a long time. So they really didn't know that, hey, it's time to renew that license. And you know, dude, I'm from a small business. I own a small business. My wife and I grew up in a household that had a small business. When you got to make payroll, when you have to supply overhead, pay mortgage, some of those small things or some of those running the business things, like renewing the license, they could sometimes slip through the cracks. And the city does a bad job. The safety and permits department specifically, in my opinion, does a bad job of really helping those small businesses. It's more punitive, and that can really devastate a city, especially a city like ours that really relies on small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the collection of sales taxes, which is critical to the financing of government services. What's interesting, Freddie, is that there's so many other times that other departments, I guess, and I don't know, who handles occupational license taxes for the city? Is it safety and permits? Probably not. It's probably the revenue department.
I believe
department,
that's
right?
the revenue department, yeah.
Why not have all of these things align? Like, you know, occupational license and your liquor permits. If, you know, you apply in July, why not issue them, an 18-month or a 6-month license, and then it aligns with occupational license? Because get the benefit and the leverage. Everybody's mailing these notices out. Put them all in one envelope. I mean, it can't be that hard, right?
Well, here's the thing. The ABO license wasn't mailed out. It was sent via email. So they didn't even
that's not a good way of doing this. I mean, right?
Exactly. And here's something else, Lou. You mentioned the sales tax. So let's just say, worst case scenario, this company, this restaurant, they can't pay the fines. Now their business has to close down. Now they have to move out of the neighborhood that they invested a lot of money in. So you have an empty restaurant, you have an empty house, just because the city, I believe, was a bit too punitive and really didn't take that extra step to help a small business. So that's that human element that we sometimes forget that's really important. And what puzzles me is we have truly bad actors like Iggy's in the Marini that has that's hundreds of video footage of all types of alcohol related issues happening, customers leaving, drinking and driving, running into parked cars, illicit sales happening, and their ABO license continues to get renewed after I said please don't renew it, after the Marini residents said please don't renew it. So if we take that energy and focus and hitting the bad actors the way we punish the people who are really bringing a benefit to our community, we'll be in better shape.
Well, that's when your regulatory agencies run amok, right? I mean, you know, regulatory agencies really ought to be there to create an environment, an atmosphere, a landscape for businesses to succeed. You know, not to be unsuccessful. And if they made an honest mistake, as you pointed out several times already in this interview, why do you have to be so punitive? I mean, you know, the interesting thing, especially in the most compelling evidence, is they paid the state license. They just simply forgot to pay the city license. So it wasn't like they were trying to shirk their responsibility, right?
Exactly. I believe it could be too robotic. Like the Terminator, we just have a goal as a city, and if you run afoul and you don't check out all the boxes, we lose sight of the human element. These are humans who have to juggle a business, raising a family, raising a child, and so you know they miss paying the city. Like you said, they didn't miss paying the state, so it wasn't like they was trying to circumvent the rules. Well, we just, again, make it too hard, not with just ABO licenses, but the whole safety and permits. I talk to home builders all the time, and they say we just don't like to build in Orleans Parish because the same time we put a permit in a neighboring parish at the same time as Orleans, our foundation is ready to be built, is ready in the neighboring parish, but we're still stuck in safety and permits in Orleans Parish. I talked to a local grocery store owner, who has at least one grocery store in Gentilly. And I said, hey, we have a food desert near the Algiers Point area. And he said, you know, Councilmember King, I've heard that before. I would love to move in that area, but I'm still fighting to get my permits in Gentilly. I'd rather just go to the next parish over because it's so much easier. Now, I get tired of hearing that. Because those losses, they add up, Noel. And eventually, you start seeing your sales revenue dip, your tax revenue dip, your population dip, because people, they're getting frustrated with the red tape the hoops and the hurdles just to make it and just to run a small business in the city.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's the lifeline of a city, obviously, because without the generation of, you know, property taxes, sales taxes, occupational license taxes, all of this, you know, your ABO licensing and everything else, I mean, that's financing all of this. And without it, if you start to get diminished numbers and people closing down and finding out that it's easier to be more successful in other areas of the state, that's where they're going to go. That's human nature. They're going to take the path of least resistance. They're not going to continue to fight that fight and not make any money, right? I mean, you know, it's just – and business is tough out there, you know, and everyone is competing against everyone. It's almost as if we don't even have the desire to compete. You got a lot of people. You guys are working hard trying to make a difference, and yet you got other people that are – that are you're in a tug of war with your own administration.
You're absolutely right, Noah. I don't know if it's ego, if it's my way or no way, but something has to change. We're losing too many small businesses. We're losing too many businesses. Our population isn't growing. You know, we've had this conversation years ago about the difficulties in safety and permits, and unfortunately, some things have changed, but not enough. And I'll continue to fight to change safety and permits to make sure we get common sense rules in. Nothing that's going to help somebody break the rules, but things are going to help people pay their bills. Things are going to help people just make it easier to survive and make a dollar to this city. We don't want to hurt those businesses like Plume, but those businesses who are breaking the rules, who turn a blind eye when their customers make the neighborhood a unsafe place, we want to shut those businesses down. I think we can do both, but right now we aren't doing both. We're making it difficult for the good guys to succeed, and we're making it easy for the bad guys to keep slipping through the cracks, and that's not a good recipe for a successful city, a successful business economy in the city.
I got a text here that says maybe they should just get an ice chest and sell the alcohol in the street.
There you go. We talked about that ad nauseum, and you can do that, and you know, and sell other things. You know,
you could sell anything you want out of a red wagon.
I mean, there you go. Edibles, yeah. Food. Again, we try to crack down on that on Bourbon Street in the Frenchman and on Franklin Street in Marigny. And that was met with it's a certain level of resistance. You know, it's unfair, and we didn't call it talk about that, but it's unfair. And you have a brick and mortar, or somebody who's paying for a push cart, a legal push cart, to compete with somebody who's not paying overhead, who's not paying sales tax, who's not insured. We introduced legislation to allow for up to 20 more legal push carts. So there are legal avenues that our office has taken to make it possible, but it's unfair when I'm paying all of the taxes and overhead, and I'm competing with somebody who is not paying anything, and be selling it the same product at the same price. That just can't compete. You can't win like that.
But you see, that's emblematic of a dysfunctional regulatory agency. Going back to what I said before of creating the landscape for those that are following the rules to be successful is you eliminate those that don't follow the rules but that are eroding away the sales base of the legitimate businesses. And I don't know what it is in this city that we don't understand the basic principles of this, is that we cannot have a viable legal business community if we allow a flourishing illegal business community. I mean, it's
exactly. I agree, and that's why, again, we created legislation to give people that path forward to get legal. Mm-hmm. But you have to have the support of all of the city government to encourage everybody to walk in that path forward. When there's a break in the chain and everyone isn't marching to the same beat, it creates a space where the illegal activity will continue because you don't have that enforcement that you need. For whatever reason, you don't have it. So the council, we can make all the rules. We can help people become legal all we want. If the enforcement arm isn't there, if it's not always encouraged to be there, then the rules we make aren't worth anything.
So what are the next steps? I mean, is the council just at this point feel totally impotent and they're not able to do anything?
Well, no, as relates to the plume situation, we're going to introduce legislation that's going to require more of an advance notice to say, hey, it's time to renew your license. So that's something that we're planning on doing. We rejected safety and permits. The council rejected safety and permits, new method of handling renewals. We told them basically go back to the drawing table, bring something back to the council that more in line with the vision of the ordinance that was passed back in the spring, as you mentioned earlier. So we're waiting to hear back from safety and permits as it relates to that. And ultimately, you know, we're going to have a new mayor in a couple months. So the council and this new mayor, whoever that may be, hopefully we can all work together and do something that brings this city forward. But the key word is working together. And I think we're going to get that accomplished moving forward.
Well, we will keep our fingers crossed in the interim, and thank you for joining us today. Sounds like you're all over this issue, and we appreciate that as well. Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.